T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
No balls, two strikes, two out. Urias to Adames. Call strike three. The Dodgers win. Finally, the wait is over. The Dodgers are the champions of 2020 in a year like no other, where joy has been so hard to come by. Tonight, tears of joy, let them flow. Tonight, there is joy in Mudville. The curse of 88 is 88 and out the gate, and the Dodgers are celebrating out in the middle of the field between home plate and the pitcher's mound. The Dodgers, for the first time since 1988, 32 seasons, are the champions of baseball.
Oh, good for you.
Charlie Steiner, KLAC Radio in L.A. And he was actually in L.A.
Yes, he was.
As the Dodgers win the World Series in Texas. Beating the Rays 3-1. Clayton Kershaw, so relieved there was not
so
a game
relieved.
Seven.
So is Major League Baseball.
That he could possibly blow. Major League Baseball is thrilled there's no game seven, because they could just escort Justin Turner out the back gate.
That's right.
And run away.
See you in February.
Till February.
Absolutely. Yeah, hide until February, Justin Turner.
Because in true epic 2020 fashion,
correct,
the third baseman of the Dodgers has to be pulled in the middle of the game due to a positive COVID test.
Correct.
Get the virus.
Not in the middle of the game, the eighth inning of the game, which the Dodgers were comfortably ahead at that point in time.
It's good that he got to come back and take the picture.
That's
with
right.
Trophy,
you got to take the picture, man. You got to take the picture. He's going to be a free agent after the season. He
by
don't care.
That point,
Roy Roberts blissfully ignorant next to him.
But you know what?
By that point,
he's been in the clubhouse all day. He's been in the dugout all day. He's been on the field all day. At that point in time, what the hell?
An extra 30 minutes?
Yeah.
Seriously, at that point in time, so be it. I mean, you had the guy exposed to everybody all afternoon. You get to the ballpark at what, 3 o'clock? You know, before a 7 o'clock game, and
yeah,
so you're wandering.
10 o'clock at night.
The virus sleeps, right? But
he's already there for 7 hours.
I know he's already been there. Yeah,
before they pulled him, essentially.
Correct.
I mean, it was like
the thing that
I'm not gonna get worked up about at that point.
I'm not either.
It's like your testing failed.
Yeah, it did.
So your ability to get tests turned around was a failure.
Mm-hmm.
That's where we're at. It's not a perfect system right now. So would it have been more prudent for him to kind of be off to the side? Yeah, it would have been
better
visual. But you know, it's like at that point, after his teammates didn't even care.
They didn't care. No, nobody cared inside that Dodger clubhouse. The people who cared are the people who are feigning anger this morning over it. After, you're right, Josh, 7 hours of exposure to the team, you know, and then at the end of the game, he's like, I've already been exposed to these guys all day long, and so he's their teammate. It's the end of the season. Everybody's going about their separate ways. And we'll regroup in February. I think the last thing on the mind of anybody in the Los Angeles Dodgers last night was Justin Turner's COVID situation.
This is what happens when you don't respect COVID.
That's exactly right, man.
I don't think COVID can get to me. Right? I don't think it's going to enter this body.
I don't want no parts of it. It don't want no parts of me. I think it's a mutual respect.
The Justin Turner after the game?
No, that's close to Justin Turner after. He did not speak after the game last night. They did not let him.
No.
That's too dangerous to be on Zoom.
Right. You're not going to let him talk after the game.
No, you don't want him saying something out of turn.
Isn't it weird, though, Josh? You played that highlight of Charlie Steiner, Dodgers' first world championship since 1988, and that's the third biggest story coming out of the World Series yesterday. That is the third biggest story coming out of the World Series. The number one thing that everybody is going to be talking about, of course, Justin Turner getting pulled in the eighth inning because of the COVID test popping. Monday's test came back inconclusive. They gave him a test yesterday. By the time they got the results back, it was the eighth inning. Allegedly, they pulled him out of the game in the eighth inning. They stuck him in a room up in the clubhouse, and they told him not to come out and celebrate, and then he came out and celebrated some 30 minutes after the game was over. The Rays were already off the field. It was just, you know, his Dodger teammates and whatnot. And the other thing, too, there's not a lot of media or anybody surrounding, you know, that situation because nobody was there at the game. And so they pulled them and they did what they were supposed to do. You know, once they got the results of the test, what are you supposed to do to a grown man? You know, put him in a straitjacket and throw him in a room? I mean, like, so, I mean, he did what he wasn't supposed to do, but I'm not going to sit here and feign anger over that this morning. I'm more worked up over, if I'm a Tampa Bay Rays fan, what is Kevin Cash doing by taking out Blake Snell in the game when he did? A man was cruising along, had nine strikeouts, had a 1-0 lead in that game, and was absolutely destroying Dodger batters. And because analytics, you know, you're going out there and you're taking out a pitcher who is cruising along. Kevin Cash made arguably one of the biggest blunders in the history of professional sports by taking Blake Snell out of that game, and everybody knew it. The minute he was taken out of that game, the momentum turned. And I'm not using that as exaggeration. The minute he was taken out of that game, the momentum
swung. Tell me that whole dugout went.
And the Dodgers immediately scored. They tied the game. And then, of course, the play at the plate on the contact play where you score, you make it 2-1, and then Betts hits the home run to make it 3-1 later on in that game, and it's out of reach. I mean, you can't let analytics get in the way of doing what is right. I think there's a place at times for analytics, and it's good information to have, but at the end of the day, you've got eyes, you've got a brain, and when you see Blake Snell is only 70 pitches into his night, has nine strikeouts of the Dodgers already, and is absolutely motorboating along out there, the last thing you need to do as a manager is look at a stat sheet and some nerd from Harvard told you to pull him in whatever inning it was because you're getting ready to roll through the lineup a third time.
I'm risking my life.
What a horrible, horrible, asinine, bad decision by Kevin Cash. And quite frankly, if I'm the owner of the Rays, I'm firing his ass today. That cost your team.
I know
they won't because they're into it. But I'm saying from somebody
who hired all those people that make those decisions.
I know, but this should tell people why analytics isn't the end-all be-all, and baseball is becoming such a nerd stat sport that they forget that there's a human element involved, and Tampa didn't factor in that human element at all last night, and it cost them the World Series.
Does analytics tell you that in the sixth inning of a game in which you're cruising and you have you know, all this adrenaline in a big game situation, does it factor any of that in?
No, it does not.
Okay.
It does not factor any of that in.
It is a useful tool that looks at what has been done to you in the past.
Correct.
Does not account for the fact that you could rise up in a moment.
In a moment.
On the biggest stage with your team counting on you and coming through in that situation. Blake, the guy wasn't in a jam.
No.
He gave up a single to center.
Right. So you pull him.
There was
sixth.
One out and a single in the sixth.
Right. And that was
that wasn't a jam.
Second hit that he'd given up.
That wasn't a jam that you had to pull him out of and decide, oh my gosh, he's got runners at second and third. We believe that one, you know, two runs here is going to be ultimately costly. We got to get him out. Blah, 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 blah. No. It was in the perfect situation to be allowed to continue.
There's anything could have thrown one more pitch, got a double play, been out of the inning.
Right. If there's anything I don't like, I mean, I didn't like the fact that the Dodgers had to have a bullpen game in game six either.
Correct.
But I also don't like the oh my gosh, if he can just give you four plus in a postseason game, that's good enough now.
Right.
I don't like that whole concept. Blake Snell is paid like an ace.
Right, and he
Blake
is an ace.
Snell
isn't he the Cy Young Award winner?
Yes. Blake Snell is the lead dog of your pitching staff.
Right. You're in a must-win game.
You're allowed to use him.
It's like pulling Patrick Mahomes in the third quarter of the Super Bowl and going to a backup quarterback. You did good enough for us today, sir. Go sit down on the bench.
No.
It makes literally no sense. And if you don't win that game last night, there's no tomorrow. And you didn't win that game last night, there's no tomorrow. Blake Snell now has November, December, January, February. He's got 5 months before he needs to pitch again and be ready. Are you telling me you're worried about not getting him enough rest or whatever it is? Like, there's no justification that Kevin Cash can make today to tell us that that was the right decision. And you just saw Blake Snell's reaction. My goodness, he dropped the big F-bomb on TV, and we were made sure by Joe Buck that we all saw that slow motion F-bomb that he dropped on TV. And my wife's like, wow, they really showed him saying that. I go, yeah, I think they needed to show him saying that because that's the story of the game and how upset Blake Snell was. 5 1/3, 2 hits, 1 run,
and nine strikeouts
in 5 1/3 innings. You know what we need to do here? We need to go to Anderson, we need to go to Fairbanks and Yarborough and all those guys. Let's get the bullpen in here and make this a bullpen game because Dr. Nerdenstein from Harvard told me to go out there and do it.
It is an assessment of what has happened in the past. It is not a absolute indicator of what's going to happen in the future.
No, not at all. Not at all.
And it does not factor in emotions and steely nerves,
right?
In a big game scenario, he should have saw that his pitcher was doing great.
It was doing outstanding.
And it should have been on his shoulders. If he gives up 2 runs in that inning, then at least you say, well, I did it with my ace.
Right. At least you do it with your ace. You go down with the best possible opportunity that you have. Not with some statistical rundown of, well, he's going through the lineup for the, like, that's the new thing now in baseball. God forbid a starting pitcher should go through a lineup a third time where he has 9 strikeouts and has given up 2 hits.
Oh, Kevin Cash.
The only motive was that the lineup the Dodgers feature is as potent as any team in the league. Personally, I felt Blake had done his job and then some. Mookie coming around for the third time through. I value that. I totally respect and understand the questions that come with it. Blake gave us every opportunity to win. He was outstanding. They're not easy decisions. And that's where I came to the decision. I felt it was best after the guy got on base. Barnes hit the single. Didn't want Mookie or Seager seeing Blake a third time.
Why?
Because the numbers tell me so.
Unbelievable. It really is just mind-boggling, Josh, that we have gotten to that point in sports where we are allowing numbers to dictate moments where the human element is more powerful than what those numbers are going to tell you. Those numbers don't tell you how Blake Snell is feeling, how Blake Snell is pitching, and what he's doing in that moment. You can look at past, and I get it and understand it, and they have a place. But at the end of the day, rely on your gut. And Kevin Cash failed miserably.
Didn't want to see him get Betts. Didn't want to see him get Seager, who were 0 for 4 with 4 strikeouts before that.
Why would you want a pitcher to face somebody like that?
Numbers. Splitting the running back workload will be just fine. Thank you. We'll explain next.
Bro, I'm risking my life.
Fesco in the Morning, brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, Kansas City's home for car audio since 1967.
And here's another great moment in sports that never would have happened if Kevin Cash were in charge.
Petrov with it. The Americans on top, 4-3. Long shot. Gray able to get a piece of it to sweep it away. 28 seconds. The crowd going insane. Karlamov shooting it into the American end again. Morrow is back there. Now Johnson, 19 seconds. Johnson over to Ramsey. Biletinov gets checked by Ramsey. McClanahan is there. The puck is still loose. 11 seconds. You've got 10 seconds. The countdown going on right now. Morrow up to Schultz. 5 seconds left in the game. You believe in miracles? Yes!
Unbelievable.
And that was another great moment in sports that never would have happened if Kevin Cash were in charge.
No chance.
Not a chance. He'd have cut Mike Arruzzioni in practice.
He wouldn't have had half that squad.
Yep.
They'd have looked at that that draw and said, we can't win this anyway.
Yeah, we're not going to play.
Numbers say we're never winning this whole thing.
Correct.
Why are we even playing this? We probably just would have walked out of the Olympics.
Yeah, Kevin Cash would have just decided to forfeit that game. We got to play the Russians. So, no way. We're not going to that game today. Analytics tells me there's no chance that we can beat them.
None. So, we'll continue to bring you great moments in Kevin Cash.
That's right. Yeah. Right.
What do we call them?
Great moments in Kevin Cash.
That wouldn't have happened. It's Kevin Cash.
Yeah, Kevin Cash.
That's getting lengthy, I know. We'll come up with something
shorter. We'll get there before 9 a.m.
Maybe we'll just call them Kevin Cash moments or something, you know?
Cashing out.
Yeah, cashing out. There you go. I do like that. Yeah.
We'll work on that.
It's no law and hors d'oeuvres.
No, it is.
No law and hors d'oeuvres. It's close, though.
You can submit yours at 913-576-7610.
And let us
a good name idea.
A name idea or a moment, Josh.
There you go, or a moment.
Or a moment.
Kevin Cash would have stepped on.
That's right. Could be a historical moment, could be a sports moment. Whatever moment you believe Kevin Cash would have screwed up, let us know, and maybe we'll work it into our fun little bit
today. They might have lost that game, but I'm still doing it on my ace.
I'm still losing with Blake Snell, yeah. Man. Not going to the bullpen. Yeah, I don't really care what the numbers say.
That's just me. The Chiefs get back to work today.
Will Kevin Cash allow that to happen?
I don't know. Would Kevin Cash allow Le'Veon Bell to get his revenge on the Jets?
Kevin Cash never would have traded for Le'Veon Bell. The analytics would have said he's not worth it.
Picked him up.
That's my bad.
Well, I'll edit that out.
Yeah. He was trending in the wrong direction.
Correct.
Statistically,
says he's not worth it.
For sure.
Yeah.
For sure.
Even though he had two of his biggest runs in the last 4 years on Sunday.
That's correct.
Right.
17 plays in his debut last week for Le'Veon Bell. Pete Sweeney of Arrowhead Pride, our 610 Sports Radio Chiefs insider, thinks that eventually we'll get to a maybe 50-50 type split with Clyde Edwards-Helaire and Le'Veon Bell.
Now the Chiefs have really two talented running backs at that position. You got a short glimpse of Le'Veon Bell, and it really did seem like he had a lot left in the tank, but that was the problem. The Chiefs were just scoring. You don't get the football after you score. It's not like basketball on the playground where you score and you keep the ball. No, you have to give the ball back. And so you didn't really get a chance to see how this thing is going to work. But my inclination, based upon some rumblings and what I think, I think it'll eventually be worked to a complete 50-50 split. And you got to look. You got to look where maybe one guy takes this series and the next guy takes another series. Maybe they'll pop out if there's a long run and if you want to give one of them a breather. But I think you'll see one running back stay in for the entire series and then you keep the other guy fresh by going to the other back the next series. And you can also keep them in a rhythm that way. They're both very, very good. I also think there'll be certain situations where maybe Bell gets in, like in short yardage or on the goal line, and you remove Clyde from those situations until he gets a little bit better at following his keys. I think it'll eventually be 50-50, and you're going to see more and more Bell as he gets comfortable because, to me, clearly, there's still a lot there.
I don't have a problem with that.
No, I think that's the right way to do it.
I know there was some angst when Thomas Jones and Jamal mm-hmm. Charles were splitting care.
It was the right thing to do. It was 100% the right thing to do.
Yeah.
Todd Haley did not do a lot of right things here in Kansas City, but that split between Jamal Charles and Thomas Jones was
Jamal
the right thing to
Charles
do.
Charles ready for spurts
right.
was the best way to go about it.
And, yeah. and again, that falls back to analytics and stats because people are mad that Jamal didn't get all the carries because they had him on their fantasy team, and they were concerned about that versus winning football games. And again, as we've stated so many times, Andy Reid does not care about your fantasy football team. He cares about winning games long-term for the Kansas City Chiefs. And the best way to go out there and win games long-term is to have a healthy, fresh team when the calendar turns to January and you enter the playoffs. A way to keep guys healthy, a way to keep guys fresh, is try to limit their use as much as possible, especially at that running back position where you can do a 50-50 split and take the wear and tear off a young player like Clyde Edwards-Helaire, take the stress and wear and tear off an older player like Le'Veon Bell, find that perfect 50-50 split, and keep both of those guys healthy and both of those guys fresh as you head towards the home stretch of the regular season and into the playoffs. Like, that is the perfect formula right now for a running back, especially on a team like the Chiefs.
Yeah, and if you have two to be able to play, too, right?
Right.
I mean, there's teams that if your second guy's way, you know, like, it didn't make sense, no offense to you know, whoever the next guy is, Darrell Williams,
sure. Yeah.
But on other teams, you know, I don't know who the second. But if there's a big drop off,
mm-hmm.
well, then
run with your guy.
Sure. If you have these two, which again, pretty comparable. One's just starting his career. One's got a really good track record. And if he shows you that he can handle it and he's fresh, mm-hmm. if he shows you like he did last week, then what would be the problem in, you know, handing out those carries based on, hey, let's keep you, maximize you for your for a stretch drive, maximize you mm-hmm. in your window and play it that way.
Yeah, and if it doesn't
work, then you skew it. You know,
right? One guy's not having it that day, then you move on to the next guy, and maybe you give more carries to the other guy. But I think in a perfect world, if you're building a football team and you're the general manager, you want a 1A and a 1B as your running backs. You don't want a 1 and then a 4. And that's kind of what the Chiefs really had here. Once Damian Williams opted out, you're looking at Clyde Edwards-Helaire as the lead dog. There really wasn't a proven backup behind him. You had a couple of guys out there, but nobody that was proven. Now you've got a proven guy out there where you can split 50-50 carries. Your offense only becomes better because you had a star like Le'Veon Bell, but your offense becomes better because you keep Clyde Edwards-Helaire fresh also. And so that's the key for me is you just got better by adding this guy into the mix.
Trez Paylor of Yahoo Sports, our 610 Sports Radio NFL insider, dropping by The Drive yesterday here on 610 Sports Radio. Where does Bell have an edge, maybe over CEH?
He is a better pass protector than Clyde Edwards-Helaire. And Edwards-Helaire is more elusive, so he's going to continue to see work, especially if he keeps running like he is, like he ran on Monday. I'm sorry, on Sunday. As long as he keeps running like that, he'll be fine. But, you know, there's definitely a role for both these guys in this offense, and it's going to be fun watching Andy kind of, you know, dole those carries out depending on the situation.
Therese is in my camp now. You assume every game is a Monday for the Chiefs.
Correct. I mean,
it's hard to remember when they just play a plain old Sunday game.
Right.
Yeah, if that's, you know, you don't want to have tells where, well, if Le'Veon Bell's in, they're going to pass. You mm-hmm. don't want it to get to that measure. But if you had those situations where you can use Le'Veon Bell's skill set to better pass protect, I'm all for it.
Right, so. Absolutely. And especially because, you know, Clyde Edwards-Helaire isn't up to snuff yet on where he needs to be when it comes to pass protecting in the NFL as a running back. That's not an easy thing to do, okay? You've got to learn how to do it, and you've got to figure it out, and you've got to be able to stick your nose in there. And if Le'Veon Bell is willing to go ahead and do that and be that guy that the Chiefs need at that position and to help an offensive line right now that has been, you know, hurt by injuries and opt-outs and all that kind of stuff, it makes your team that much stronger to have a running back who can get in there and kind of be a sixth offensive lineman at times.
Yeah, again, you don't want to get to the point where it's a tell,
right?
You know,
correct.
I think at times when Darrell Williams came in, it was kind of a tell
a little bit, maybe you know? So yeah,
you obviously have better options when Le'Veon Bell's in there, but right. He could pass protect because he's really good at it, but we're going to use him to do this and this as well.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not a niche third down back or whatever. You're just going to, he gives you that option when he's in there.
I think we should have enough confidence in Andy Reid to know that, you know, the offense isn't going to be kind of a tell.
Predictable at all.
Yeah,
I know.
Yeah. You don't know what's coming at any point in time. You can think you know what's going on out there, but at the end of the day, you really don't.
Hear from Andy Reid, Patrick Mahomes, Travis Kelce, and more coming up today live at 11:45 during Cody and Gold here on 610 Sports Radio. Of course, right here on your official broadcast partner of the Chiefs as the Chiefs head back to practice today. Hear from the coach, quarterback, tight end, and more coming up again at 11:45 live today here on 610 Sports Radio. 913-576-7610 on the Smitty's Garage Burgers and Beer text line. We will shout it out coming up in just a few minutes. The only disappointing part about the Dodgers call, no offense to Charlie Steiner, was that it wasn't Vin Scully.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll hear from Vin next.
Fesco in the Morning, brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, Kansas City's home for car audio since 1967.
And here's another great moment in sports that never would have happened if Kevin Cash were in charge.
The game right now is at the plate. High fly ball.
And that was another great moment in sports that never would have happened if Kevin Cash were in charge.
Yeah, no chance.
No way. He looks at Gibby limping around.
Like,
yeah, he goes,
Gibby, you can't go tonight. You can't.
You know, we got this, my man. You can go back to the training room, get some ice on that leg.
Yeah, you can't help us here.
No. No chance. No chance Kirk Gibson hits that home run if Kevin Cash were in charge.
We will shout it out, 913-576-7610, coming up in just a few minutes. Get those texts in now on the Smitty's Garage Burgers and Beer text line. We'll shout it out coming up in just a few minutes.
I thought Charlie Steiner almost stole Vin Scully's line there. In a year of improbable, the impossible has happened. Charlie Steiner started to go down that route last night in his call. I don't know if he had planned it that way, if he was thinking about Vin, if it was an homage to Vin Scully. And his
kind of the homage.
I wouldn't have minded it either. I think it would have been cool if he would have said, especially in 2020, in a year of the improbable, the impossible has happened. Baseball finished its season.
That's right. They got through this.
And we've got a champion. Good night.
So Vin Scully, of course, no longer on the call for the Dodgers. He's retired to now social media.
That's right.
Which is fantastic.
The only thing on social media that everybody agrees is good.
Yes. So,
I mean, cat videos, too.
I'm allergic. I don't like them.
Vin did share his favorite memories of the 2020 World Series.
The base hit by Brett Maverick Phillips. It was his reaction. He was like every kid who ever threw a ball against the wall, whoever threw a ball against a barn door and kept dreaming that he was in the World Series, that he got the base hit and his team won. And that to me was the other memory that will stick in my mind and in my heart. Brett Maverick Phillips, 25 years old, out of Seminole, Florida, called his wife and said, "Did you see it?" She said, "Yes, we're back in the hotel. I saw it on television. It was too cold to stay in the ballpark."
The ballpark has a roof.
Yeah, yeah, she did.
Hi, everybody.
See it at the hotel.
How about that? Could you imagine? Now, his wife, of course, is Trey Hillman's daughter, so there's a little bit of that connection as well. But could you imagine leaving the World Series early and your husband comes up with one of the biggest hits in
I mean, he handled it well. He's like, hey, that's how it was meant to happen.
I guess,
so,
man.
It sounded like he handled it terrific. Like, hey, if you were here, maybe that situation didn't happen. I don't know. You left. It worked out.
Maybe.
You know? I'll take it.
I look at
that as fairness. Like, she didn't know he was going into the game.
No, that is true. That is true. But you never leave a game.
I just don't leave. I'm not. Yeah, I don't bowl games. But
yeah,
that's just
you
me.
Never know what's going to happen.
Plenty of people do. Yeah,
especially now, games come down to the last moments all the time. I mean, what if you left that Tennessee game against Pittsburgh early, right? And the Steelers had that big lead. You didn't see the comeback by Tennessee. You missed all that. What if you left the Super Bowl early? You missed Wasp. You missed the Chiefs coming back at the end. So many games now come down to the end.
But I like it from that situation because they got a great story about it.
Oh, it's a fantastic story now, right? You live your life for stories, yeah. Right? And they've got a good one. Now, if you left last night after Kevin Cash took out Blake Snell, I could totally understand that was the game right there. I get that, but man, that I think, you know, while you got a great story, if you're his wife, you're feeling regret probably for the rest of your life that you walked out on that. You're like, man, maybe the only moment that this guy's gonna have at the big league level, right? And I left.
It'd be like walking out on the wild card game or something like
that. Didn't Henry do that?
Let's shout it out, 913-576-7610, brought to you by Jay's Southland Tow Service. They are simply the best.
Check them out at southlandtow.com, and if you mention 610, you get 10% off.
785, shout out to Ned Yost for managing the Rays last night.
What we were talking about that in break. If Ned did that, right, and they lost the game, we'd be calling for his head today,
and rightfully so.
And rightfully so. If you're a Tampa Bay Rays fan, like if you're Dick Vitale today, oh, baby, Kevin Cash needs to go. He made a bad decision,
with
baby.
With my one eye, could have saw Blake Snell was dealing.
Blake Snell was dealing. He was like a diaper dandy.
There it is. I was wondering how we were going to get diaper dandy in there.
Yeah, we got it in.
He definitely would have a one good eye thing.
Sure he would have. Yeah.
That one.
Oh, absolutely. I got one eye, and I could have seen Blake Snell. Yeah, absolutely. Like if you're Dick Vitale today, you have to drop the hammer on Kevin Cash in the Rays organization and let everybody know you're their fan and you're not standing for this.
816 says, therapist, what's wrong? Me, if I do my Borat voice one more time, I'll be getting a divorce. Therapist, and who told you that? Me.
My wife.
That's pretty good.
I like that. That's funny. Yes.
What is the best alcohol served warm? Asked the 816.
Warm? I maybe Bailey's and like hot chocolate.
Hot
or,
chocolate.
Yeah. I mean, I like bourbon neat. I'll take that all day.
Are you considering that warm? I guess.
Well, yeah, it's room temperature. It's room temperature. It's not from the freezer. No, you don't put ice in it.
Yeah, no, but I was thinking like a hot drink.
That's what I was thinking too. So,
I thought of
Bailey's.
Yeah, but, Bailey's or you know Fireball and apple cider. I had some of that over the weekend. Or you know, you're getting into that you know cold season. Winter just won't let go. I mean, my God, winter just will not let go.
Huh. 785 Slaps is the most underrated barbecue in KC. Might be the best.
Slaps pretty good.
They do a nice job.
Pretty good. I love their sauce. Their sauce is terrific.
Those boys that run the place.
Good dudes.
Yeah. 913 wants to know why don't whatchamacallits come in fun size for Halloween? I could have swore they did.
I don't know.
Haven't I gotten a fun size whatchamacallit?
Now, see, you're going to be looking. You're absolutely going to be looking.
I would think you could.
Yeah, the internet's got them.
Yeah, I'm sure you can find them somewhere.
Get a bag of them for $4.76 at Walmart.
What the problem is with that though is nobody buys the individual bags of candy, right? You buy the big thing at you know Costco or whatever, and you get like 150 candy bars for 50 cents on the dollar. So everybody just buys those big bags.
I don't like going that route. It doesn't give you a good mix. Like, it's all chocolate or it's all
You get one of each.
Fruity chewy.
Yes, they've got two separate ones. You buy one of each, mix them together, you got the perfect mix.
No, I don't need that much candy. I'm trying to give away all that free candy.
Keep it for yourself and eat it after the holiday.
What's your favorite chip dip combo?
Oh, I mean, there's so many.
That is.
I like tortilla chips and guacamole. I like sour cream and onion potato chips and anything.
Cool Ranch Doritos and Rotel.
That's pretty good.
That's a fat guy move
there. Yeah, that really is. Yeah, cheddar cheese ruffles and French onion dip is good.
I'll go with that. I've kind of grown out of bean dip, but Fritos and bean dip used to be pretty solid.
Yeah, that was my kid.
Once the seven-layer dip made its way into my life, I feel like just bean dip wasn't enough.
I haven't really Fritoed since 1985 when I ate a whole bag and threw up, so.
Oh, the Fritos chili cheese ones are good.
816 says they went to the other place last night. They have some unbelievably girthy Rella sticks. Who has the best Rella sticks?
Rella sticks we're going with, huh?
Oh, I mean, yeah, matzos.
Yeah.
Too much.
Matz sticks, though. I've heard people. I've never heard the Rella sticks.
No, I've never heard of Rella
sticks. I like that. I'm on board
Rella.
With that.
Cashless moments in history?
Yeah, we could do that. Like that. That's pretty good.
Oh, I don't think I can read that one at all.
Oh, all right.
Well, I read it to myself earlier, yeah.
It was funny, though.
Yeah.
Wasn't there a guy that famously walked out of the Texans game last year? Yeah, that was Chuck.
Who?
Remember Bad Luck Chuck? Boy, I'll tell you what.
Yeah, the guy Carrington knew.
Oh,
Carrington walked out of the game.
Okay, yeah, sure.
Got some grief from his buddies and told him to leave, and he left.
So he left, yeah.
And they turned out all right.
Text line really enjoyed your Dickie V.
Oh. At least somebody did.
785 says Mickey D's already got rid of the spicy nuggets, so disappointing.
What?
Well, I mean, it was for a limited time.
Oh, it was limited time. Then see how they go over, and then we'll release them after the first
year. They found their new McRib. That's what it is.
Is that what it is? You think it's going to be that way now?
Well, I mean, they found another McRib. Let me put it
that way. No, I know what you mean by that. So, like, when it's not McRib season, it's spicy McNugget season?
Yeah.
Okay.
Exactly.
I like the Mighty Sauce better than I like the...
The actual nugget?
Yeah.
I thought the nugget was crispier than the normal nugget.
Because I could just do regular nugget with the super hot sauce and call it good.
Can you still get the super hot sauce? Or is that gone
out
too?
Before the nuggets.
Oh, wow.
It was a scotch is the only alcoholic beverage to serve at room temperature. Okay.
Well, yeah.
That's be a snob about it. Is the mustache acceptable for a young adult? Ask the 816.
Yes.
If it's creepy, go with it.
Go with it. Especially if it, like, creeps down, like, the chin, kind of, like, goatee style, and it stops, like, halfway, like by your mouth. Like, you know.
The Fu Manchu?
No. Like, it would be, like, I don't know what like a soccer goal. Like, just put it on your face, you know?
I'm sorry. What?
If you take a soccer goal, the shape of a soccer goal, and
you've
got
a bar. So you want real definitive.
Yeah. Yeah.
Angles.
Right. Yeah. Get that thing neat, looking like a soccer goal up there. Put that on your face.
Someone wants to know good keto recipes to pork his wife with.
Oh, there's a lot of good ones. You could look those up.
I mean, there's pork rinds, too.
Pork rinds, yeah.
Does that count as porking?
That does, and it's also very keto-friendly, I believe. Yeah.
Chicharrones.
Yeah, use those instead of tortilla chips and make your nachos out of them. Eat the whole platter. It's keto-friendly. You'll lose weight.
Only if you eat the whole platter.
That's right. You got to eat the whole platter.
That's true. I think it's.
I'm on keto. Give me the whole tray of
that's
nachos.
Right. That'll do it for today's edition of Shout It Out. Text line always open for you, 913-576-7610. There's just not a lot of nice things to say about this week's Chiefs foe. Next.
Fesco in the Morning, brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, Kansas City's home for car audio since 1967.
And here's another great moment in sports that never would have happened if Kevin Cash were in charge.
Listen, Tranquility Base here. The Eagle has landed. That's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind.
And that was another great moment in sports that never would have happened if Kevin Cash were in charge.
Says here the numbers don't make sense. We spent so much money to send somebody to the moon, and why?
Why are we wasting our time with this?
Out. Analytics would have not favored a moon landing.
Not at all. Not at all. We're not talking about the moon landing at the gym. We're talking about the moon landing up in the sky. You know, where they discovered water or something yesterday, at least according to the Royals' Twitter?
Would not have passed the Kevin Cash
test. It wasn't
test.
Until last week I knew the term moon landing.
Really?
I didn't know that was a thing when you touch two naked butts together.
Of course. Hey, you learn something new every day, don't you?
Yeah, we just keep learning and getting better every day.
That's right.
Adding new things to the bag of tricks.
You got any suggestions of things that never would have happened if Kevin Cash were in charge? Feel free to text him in. The Smitty's Garage Burgers and Beer text line is always wide open. But
yeah, analytics would have said no to NASA.
Nope. Not going to do it. We are not doing the moon landing.
No chance.
Thank you, Mr. Cash. What else you got for us?
The Chiefs face off against the Jets Sunday, noon at Arrowhead. Chiefs score 6-1. The Jets 0-7 heading into this one.
They're not very good.
Therese Paylor of Yahoo Sports, our 610 Sports Radio NFL insider, joining the drive yesterday. They just asked him, say something nice about the Jets.
They're going to probably have Trevor Lawrence, and if they do this the right way, they'll be interesting next year. And like spunky in 2022 and a contender in 2023, or, you know, like a early entry contender, like a playoff contender, like wild card. Let's be clear about that. But they are in the pole position to get a really, really good, talented quarterback. Even if they get number two, like Justin Fields is that. He's outstanding. And if they okay, how about this, too? They've got a guy who can evaluate talent in general manager Joe Douglas. I hear good things about him. And they've got a ton of draft picks. So draft picks plus a man who could evaluate talent plus the likely number one pick in a great quarterback draft, which is what this is looking like, means that you should be interesting next year and able to start building sooner rather than later.
So, but who's going to be the coach?
So
they'll be good in 3 years.
You should
years.
Be interesting next year.
Right. Interesting.
All right.
Look, to
say
me,
something nice about the Jets. Well, they'll be good in 2023.
They had good uniforms in the mid-80s. I mean, you know, other than that, Ken O'Brien to Al Toon was a nice connection that they used to have. But when you look at the Jets as a franchise, I mean, you know, you can have that number one pick, you can have that number two pick, but if you don't make a change at head coach and get a real leader and a real head football coach in there, it doesn't matter what quarterback you draft. It doesn't matter who's under center, because you're not going to realize the success if you don't have the right man leading the organization. And so the Jets need to find out who that football coach is going to be. If the Jets truly want to turn it around, I mean, they're in the same spot, Josh, basically, that the Chiefs were in 2012, right? I mean, it was a bad, bad, bad situation. Everything was wrong with the franchise. And that's kind of where the Jets are right now. They need to find their Andy Reid. They need to go out there and find an adult and somebody who is smart and who is well-respected and knows what he's doing to go out there and turn that franchise around. They can have all the talent evaluators that they want and all the draft picks and all the, you know, picks of quarterback at number one or number two, but if you have the wrong head coach and the wrong coaching staff in there, those guys aren't going to have success. And I don't know if Sam Darnold's a bad quarterback, but I do know he has a really crappy head football coach that doesn't put him in position to be successful.
They are 32nd in yards per game, 32nd in yards per play, 32nd in points per game, 32nd in passing yards per game, 32nd in third down percentage, 32nd in red zone touchdown. They're not good. So Dre's like, well, it might be interesting by next year.
But
he sounds more confident in Trevor Lawrence being a Jet than
Lawrence does.
Yeah, or that I am.
Yeah, because if you're Trevor Lawrence, I mean, he was asked yesterday, would you stay in school? And he flat out said, well, it's something to consider. I mean, I know I would. If it's the choice between Clemson or the Jets.
I don't know that I'm staying in school, but I am using every single bit of my leverage as the clear-cut number one overall pick to help dictate where I'm going to go.
Correct.
And then I'm using Clemson as a fallback.
Right.
You want to push me that? I will go back to Clemson, but I'm going to orchestrate my move to the team I desire.
Right.
Or I'm going back to Clemson.
That's exactly right.
I would absolutely do that as a number one pick. And it's not just this year. I think other years, go ahead and flex.
Yeah.
If you're the overall number one pick, dictate where you're going to go, because that could go a long way to determining your success.
Right.
So I would take that into huge consideration if I'm Trevor Lawrence. Ultimately, I think he'll be in the NFL next year, but am I 100% confident to be with the Jets with the number one pick? No. And if I'm Trevor Lawrence, I'm making sure it's not the Jets with the number one
pick. But there's no way I'm going to the Jets. Unless
there's nothing they're showing me right now that would say this would make sense.
The Jets have to go out this offseason, and in order to impress Trevor Lawrence, and that's what you have to do, you have to have a head coach. You have to have a real head football coach running that franchise, because I'm not risking my NFL career, even though the pay for a number one pick overall, a quarterback, you're still going to get a nice chunk of change that you can live on for generations. I get all that. But I'm not risking my NFL career to somebody like Adam Gase. I'm just not doing that. And so unless the Jets can go out there and prove to me that we have an adult in the room and we have a guy in the room that is a legit NFL head coach, I'll stay with Dabo Swinney here at Clemson. I'll pass. I'll stay in college because I don't want my NFL life to be determined by some, you know, next hot offensive coordinator who knew something about analytics.
You think the Jets try for Swinney?
For Swinney? I don't know. I mean, I think he's going to be a hot name, but you know the transition of coaches from college to the NFL is not good, Josh. Who was the last, besides Pete Carroll? We have not had many success stories where a guy went from the college ranks to the pro ranks and experience that success.
Cliff Kingsbury is beating the odds so far.
So yeah, two seasons.
But yeah, there's no long track record of that.
Right.
But, if NFL teams are trying to grab Sweeney, I think Jets should be at the front of the line.
I would imagine. And you're going to pair him with Trevor Lawrence?
Because you might. Well, I mean, I guess you got to for sure determine that, you know, he's good with that.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, maybe he likes the guy, right? Yeah. You don't know. That is true. Just because you play for somebody doesn't mean you like him.
Doesn't mean you're like, oh, yes, he's done everything correctly for me and you know,
right.
My life. It doesn't always specifically equate to that. So you have to make sure of that connection, but that may be someone they go to, but I don't know if that's the right call.
Well, I also think when you look at the situation, you know, you can have a lot of success in college just because you go out and recruit better than everybody else. You don't need to worry about recruiting in the NFL. And if that's one of your strong points that you can sell your school and you're a great salesman, well, great. That works for college, but it doesn't work in the NFL. And how are you going to motivate NFL guys that are making more money than you, right? I mean, when you get to the NFL, most of the guys inside that locker room are making more money than the head coach is, okay? Yeah. How are you going to motivate them and get them to go out there and play for you? I mean, even Nick Saban, who is looked at as arguably the best college coach of all time, failed miserably in the National Football League. Steve Spurrier failed miserably in the National Football League. There's been so many coaches. Jimmy Johnson obviously had his success, no question about that. But there have been more coaches that have come from the college ranks that have failed than have had success. And you don't see the NFL wading into the coaching waters of college football much to hire guys to be their head football coach in the NFL.
Dabo in New York doesn't seem like a great fit either, but yeah.
Who knows? If he wins, it's a great fit.
I guess.
If he wins, it's a great fit.
I'm just envisioning him in the press conferences. I mean, he was offended by questioning the other day.
Yeah, so. He was. You're right.
At Clemson. Right. On a Zoom.
On a Zoom call. You're correct.
You know, I'm like, oof. I don't know that. I mean, he's been the big man on campus for so long.
Correct.
That I don't know that waiting in New York would would necessarily fit his personality.
Well, but a lot of these college coaches believe they're deities at their university,
right.
and some of them are. And then you get to the NFL, and they don't really give a rip about what you accomplished in Tuscaloosa.
Especially in New York.
Yeah, especially in New York, where they don't even know where South Carolina is.
There's a lot going on there. They don't care about what you did.
Right,
little,
yeah. Okay, great. You were isolated in Clemson, South Carolina.
Correct.
Good for
correct.
You. This is the NFL.
The right fit. So there's your scouting report on the Jets.
That's right. That's about all we'll talk about the Jets this week.
They'll be intriguing in a year,
mm-hmm.
and might be good in three.
That's right.
But they're not good. They are hot garbage this year.
Oh, good Lord. That's an understatement. That's a compliment.
What was the tweet I had found? Offensive touchdowns through their first seven games. Their high was two in week one.
That's right. It's gone downhill ever since.
Yeesh.
Mm-hmm.
Can't overlook anybody, but just go out and keep a bad team bad.
Keep a losing team losing.
Speaking of quarterback coach combinations, despite the fact they're 5-2, things are not all that great in Chicago right about now. Trying to figure out who their quarterback is.
Mm-hmm.
They're 5-2. They didn't think Mitch Trubisky was any good. And you find out why.
I don't know what gave them that idea.
I think you find out why Nick Foles was a career backup quarterback as well. He's good in little spurts,
mm-hmm.
but maybe not for lengthy ones. Michael Wilbon of ESPN, not all that pleased, and says it falls on head coach Matt Nagy.
I don't know how good the Rams look because they played the Bears, and the Bears had no clue. And it's an indictment of their head coach. Their head coach. Let me be very specific. It's an indictment of him because he came in as an offensive genius, and he has no offense. All right. So it's an indictment of him, the structure of his offense, and his play calling. At 4th-and-1 at 1:20, and I think it was still a real game, he hands off to his return man, all right? His returner has probably never had a 4th-and-1 in his life, and blocking in the game at the same time is the guy, the draft pick, who looks like he can actually be a runner. And so he right now is failing the team in any number of ways and doesn't seem to get it. He doesn't even seem to understand that his opposite number, Coach McVay, just kicked his butt all over the field. And he's rarely accountable for what happens. He goes, wow, I've never been a part of something like this before. Well, you are now, and your offense, and you're supposed to be a genius, it stinks. I don't know that I can put a finer point on it than that.
Wilbon had some money on the Bears or something?
He must have had some money on the Bears. And what Wilbon is failing to understand is that you need a quarterback to have success in the NFL, which is what we're experiencing here right now in Kansas City. You've got to have a quarterback. And right now the Bears don't have a quarterback. If you're switching quarterbacks in the middle of the year, you don't have anybody. Nick Foles had, you're right, a spurt where he did some really
He's
nice
really good
things.
Spurts.
But there's a reason why Nick Foles, for the better part of a decade, has been a backup journeyman quarterback in the National Football League because he, for the most part, stinks out loud. I talked to an NFL talent evaluator last night, a very, very good NFL talent evaluator last night. I said, what do you think of the Bears? And this was the response I got. Bad roster. No speed at running back and wide receiver, bad offensive line, and they're playing with a backup quarterback. I have no idea how they're 5-2. They're 5-2 because Matt Nagy's a good football coach.
Yeah, the worst thing that could happen is 5-2. Like, if they just outright stunk, at least he'd have the quarterback stinks, and we can just move on to the quarterback. Now,
but there's no guarantees if you stink, you keep your job,
right,
you know?
Right, it's true. I mean, you have to win to keep going. There's no
right.
You'd have to be really, really confident that this wouldn't be it because they could be short spurts in the NFL as a head coach.
Yep.
But also you go 5-2, working a lot of magic to be able to have it happen, and then it leaves you open for scrutiny.
But he also won 11 games with Mitch Trubisky in that first year up there in Chicago. I mean, people seem to forget that his first year in Chicago with Mitch Trubisky, who, by the way, was drafted ahead of Patrick Mahomes and Deshaun Watson. The Bears traded up to get Mitchell Trubisky before Matt Nagy got there. He went 11-5 with that guy and went into the playoffs with him. Obviously, they took a step back last year. It's 7-9 or 8-8, whatever the Bears were a season ago. But they're 5-2 right now. They switch quarterbacks midseason. They don't have a quarterback. And Matt Nagy has got this team 5-2 with a bad roster, no speed at running back and wide receiver, a bad offensive line, and backup quarterbacks playing all over the place. People should be praising Matt Nagy for having this team sitting at 5-2 right now.
You realize you're not going to score a lot of points. You're going to have to win different ways.
And that's what it is. And then Mike Wilbon goes, well, he has no offense. Well, that's the general manager's job to go out and acquire that talent and bring that in. That's not the head coach's job. Matt Nagy literally is making chicken salad out of chicken poop in
that
Chicago.
That doesn't sound good at all.
Southern Sports Radio, KCSP, Kansas City, WDF, HD2, Liberty, or radio.com, sports station.
Let's see, round two last year, they selected a tight end, then they went corner, linebacker, corner. Round five, they finally got a wide receiver, and then two offensive linemen in the seventh round. So you definitely could make the argument that they're not giving him the best pieces to work with. Like, you can only make you can only make a dinner that's so good when you have crappy ingredients, right? I get that.
We've both seen our wives cook.
And then
my wife's getting better at cooking.
A 5-2 dinner is pretty good.
A 5-2 dinner is pretty good.
It's not 5-star, but it's pretty good.
I mean, you are who your record is. I think that you've definitely seen them win some games that were, I mean, they won, what, three games already that they were trailing by 14 points or something along those lines? Like, they lost to two teams that are notorious for choking them away in the Lions and the Falcons. Again, you are who your record is, though, so I'm not going to sit here and admonish him for that. But I do think that it's fair to question an offensive genius when you brought him in when your offense stinks.
Well, now, I think it's
there are plenty of mitigating reasons why that offense sucks. Ultimately, it comes down to the head coach, though. I mean, how many times do you hear Andy Reid say that? That's on me. Like, that's what a good leader does, and I think you're going to see somebody has to fall on the grenade, and unfortunately, it has to be the guy that's getting paid to be the head coach.
At 5-2, we're talking about having to fall on a grenade for a guy who has two backup
quarterbacks.
Their offense
sucks. That's what he needs to fall on the grenade for.
But have you seen the record? But the quarterback. But you're judged by your record. But you can't sit here and criticize a coach for being bad when he's saddled with backup quarterbacks, and especially this day and age in the NFL.
In fairness, he went to that backup quarterback. He picked him and selected
Because look at what else he had.
Let Trubisky wave in the wind then.
Yeah, I mean,
there is something to be said, but then you're only sabotaging yourself,
but then
too.
Then you have a job at the end of the year.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, if you had assurances that, like, okay, if I play Trubisky this entire season and he sucks, you'll go get me a quarterback,
right?
Of my choosing,
correct?
Right?
Yes,
I mean,
and is that going to be in writing? Is that going to be in writing?
I need
for
that
you?
In my contract.
Or if he goes out
and
stinks with Trubisky, does he get bounced?
Right. I just feel like if I'm a general manager, and clearly the logic is not a strong suit of the Bears in their front office, but if I'm the general manager, I think I look at it a little more favorably if he comes in and says, hey, man, I tried your guy. The guy that I didn't draft, the guy that I didn't pick, I tried him.
I didn't like
him
in that draft.
Two full seasons. I fought the urge to go to the guy at backup because, you know, this is your dude, and we can't win with him. I don't think this is on me. I think this is on him. Let's move forward, right? Like, at least have that opportunity. But he created the situation himself by going to Nick Foles.
But who are you going to go with at that point in time, too, when they acquired Nick Foles? Like, there was nobody else out there. I mean, and that's where it is. There's nobody else out there for a reason, because if you're not a starting quarterback with a team right now, you stink. And so you've got to find your guy in the draft.
I would just think for this particular team, you just say, hey, it's not going to be on the offense. We're going to have to win different ways,
right,
man. We're going to do our best with the offense. We're going to win, not publicly, but this is what you're thinking, right?
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to do the best I can with this offense. We're going to have to win quirky ways. And if we figure out a way to get 9-7 out of this bunch, I'll take it and run.
Right,
their defense outscored the offense.
They did, but you're sitting there and they're criticizing him for the offense, and they gave the ball to the return man or whatever it was. Do you trust Nick Foles with the ball? I don't. Do you trust Mitchell Trubisky with the ball?
There's certainly some suspect play calling going on. Like, I think there's plenty of blame to pass around, but you're right. It is weird that we're having conversations like this about a 5-2 football team, but really, like, that might be. They really front loaded their wins this year. I'll put it that way.
Look at the playbook he's running. Mm-hmm. Okay. Have we not accused that of being cute at a time or two in the past?
Yeah, absolutely.
If it doesn't work, if you run those gimmicks.
Right, it's a cute playbook. But if it works, it's like, man, that was a genius play.
Yes. Yeah. So if you give it to your return man, I mean, we've seen those plays, right? But if they work, then you go, look at all the wrinkles. How are they going to stop this thing?
Sure.
If they don't work, then you're a boob.
Right, exactly.
We are talking about the same general manager, too, who passed on both Patrick Mahomes and Deshaun Watson.
And not only passed on them, traded up to get Mitchell Trubisky.
That's right.
Like, one spot, right? Didn't they go from 4-3 or 3-3?
And the 9-1-3 was right. Cam Newton was out there. I mean.
And made it.
He's done well.
And they made it very public that Trubisky was their guy. Remember during that draft?
Mm-hmm.
Like, it was like they let everybody. There was no hiding it. They're like, we're going up to get Trubisky.
If anybody should be criticized, it's the general manager of the Jets. Ryan Grigson, the Bears.
There it is. I was like, what's he have to do with this? How did he manage to screw up two teams?
Yeah, I was like, wow.
That's very, very easy to do.
How did that guy get a job again? Oh, man.
So how did Adam Gase get a job again?
Dexter's right, too. Cap's still out there.
Man hasn't played in 4 years.
I mean, Nick Foles is a Super Bowl MVP, so.
So?
I think. But
he's been playing.
I think he's. I know he is a Super Bowl MVP. He's really good in spurts.
That was my point.
I mean, yeah, he didn't beat out Minshew and Jacksonville. They punted that one early. I mean, I think he's a nice little spell for something. I thought he'd be a spell enough for them to get through this season if you're the Bears and, like, then go grab somebody in
somebody. Yeah.
I'm just so happy we don't have these peasant problems.
Oh, yeah, it's great. I mean, could you imagine, like, dealing with this kind of... I mean, this is kind of what it was like with Alex Smith.
This is
the team's
so 2012.
Good, but Alex, yeah, but even, you know, even further, I think even Alex Smith's first couple of years, you know, oh, Alex Smith is terrible. They're 11-5.
I'd rather be that 11-5 than the Bears.
Yeah, than the Bears 5-2 or whatever it is.
That feels like two-thirds of their total wins this year has come in the first 7 weeks.
Quite possibly, yes.
Like, yeah. they're not a 9 or 10 win team.
We'll see.
They've worked magic if they are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's a tribute to coaching.
Yeah. Yeah. Then you tip your cap, like, look what he's done with this.
Yeah. But 11 with Trubisky and 10 with Foles. Let's go.
That's how you get fired quickly. Or not allowed to develop or whatever. Good news is Andy Reid's here, and he's about to crack that top five all-time wins category. Therese Paylor of Yahoo Sports, our 610 Sports Radio NFL insider, says Reid won't catch Belichick in terms of wins, but he could be the second best head coach of all time.
There's a chance because he's got Mahomes, and he's already got one Super Bowl. So, I think you start with Super Bowls. Like, that matters. You know, he gets the 3 Super Bowl titles. That's the same amount as Bill Walsh. And you know, Bill Walsh has had, you know, the legacy of, you know, finding the winning edge. And Andy could write an amazing book. I hope he does one day. But it starts there, you know, like, win 3 Super Bowls. That's how many Bill Walsh has. You know, Don Shula, what is he at, 2? Yeah, so, you know, Shula has the edge and wins, and that's going to be very difficult to beat. But, you know, once you start winning multiple Super Bowls, you know, he'll be in this discussion. So I say he'll have a case for it with 3 Super Bowls. So he's got to win a couple more.
Do you realize that
how far has Andy Reid come, though?
Well, right? Generations. It's been absolutely changed the perception of him because of winning that Super Bowl. Yeah. I mean, it's a game changer for you. It's a game changer when you're a head football coach. That book that he referenced by Bill Walsh, do you know how much that book goes for?
A lot still?
$300 or something like that. I looked it up. I was like, oh, I heard somebody talking about that book. I was watching, I think, the Dick Vermeil Football Life one night, and he was referenced that book, and I, like, looked it up. I'm like, oh, man, maybe that's something interesting to read. $300 and some. I'm like, screw that.
Still?
Yes.
I can't get, like, a used copy.
I didn't see any.
I got a used copy right here for $8.
$8? Really? That's order right. It.
Seriously?
That's like a paperback.
Yeah, no. This is not a paperback book. This is a...
Well, I'm sure isn't there a paperback version of...
Oh, this is the e-book.
Oh.
That's all right. A lot of people like to read e-books.
Yeah. Do they still make those?
The
kidneys?
Winning Edge used good condition. Missing the dust jacket, though.
Uh-oh.
$950.
All right. $950.
And then there's one for $550.
What? Are these autographed copies or something? Or
I don't think so, no.
Wow. Good for staying power of that book.
Yeah.
Hope they got the right deal on that book, right?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, this one's got a good deal right here, $296.82, and includes free shipping. That's a good deal.
Wow.
Thanks, eBay.
That's definitely an ebook then, not the actual copy. Wow.
Stupid.
Must be good. A lot of nuggets.
$290 on Amazon.
I would love an Andy Reid book, though, when it's over.
Not at $300.
Not at $300, but I would like an Andy Reid book, a movie, whatever, where he's fully revealing and lets everybody behind.
Yeah, I would love to see
what is in this book that it's worth $300?
That's what I'm saying. I don't know.
The entire West Coast offense?
Is that, like, you know, if you get your hands on that as a coach, that's like the key to opening up success?
I mean,
I don't
clearly
know.
The content isn't what's driving it. You can get the content for $8 on an ebook. It's all about the collectible, I think. It's got to be, right?
I don't know. I was stunned when I saw it.
Better be an autograph.
I mean, they have some collectible versions of this book for $1,200. What is going on?
Learn something every day.
They're like new. That's what it said, like new.
Yeah, like new for $1,200. Hmm. Just how big is the gap in the AFC West? We'll tell you next.
Fesco in the Morning, brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, Kansas City's home for car audio since 1967.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.